The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
That's an awesome video, hey. The message is actually going to be a little bit different today, as you can see. Sort of this is a little bit different from John Bond's sort of button-up shirt that he's got on each time. A little bit of a change, but it's going to be good. And I'm actually doing the first half of the message today. So in keeping with the sport theme, I've got the first half, and we're going to have Emily up with the second half later on. So how about our prayer as we start? God, just thank you so much for today, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to come together as your church, Lord, to sing and worship you, to remember what you've done for us on the cross, Lord, and to regroup and to prepare ourselves again for the week that comes, Lord, and for the things that you're wanting to do in and through us, Lord. And I pray this morning as we are here, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, and that we would have something that we can take out of it, something that will actually impact on the way that we live going from this building today. In Jesus' name, amen. So it is great watching the State Youth Games videos. Like Kelly, I've been going for a while now. This is actually the 11th year that I've been able to go, and it's amazing how it flies. I can still remember my first initiation as a 16-year-old and how small I felt, and I was too scared to play footy. And it's amazing how time flies. It's great to see people that get to go for the first time and just enjoying this new event, enjoying this awesome experience of sport and fellowship, and being pumped to come back the next year. I love seeing it. Ooh, got a bit of a breeze up here. And one of my huge highlights is obviously the Saturday night rally. And as Ryan alluded to, there was a heap of people that went forward and gave their life to Jesus. And it just reminds me that that's exactly what it's all about. You know, that's the important stuff that happens. And it's not an easy thing to do at these rallies. You know, it's not made to be really easy to go forward. It's a big commitment, and with only a handful going forward, you know, you've got to really mean it. So when you see people going forward and accepting Jesus, you know it's the real deal. So that really encourages me, and it's a huge highlight. But amongst all the other things, I love the sport. As Ryan said, being his brother, our whole family sort of loves sport. You probably blame mum and dad for that one. But I love playing the sport. I love hanging out with people, meeting new people. The whole weekend is a great experience and a great atmosphere. And if you're a young person, I encourage you to make sure you get there if you can next year. But I also really love the competitive nature of it. I love the ability to play and to win, and I do really love winning. It sure beats losing. And one thing that I don't like is actually being forced to sit and watch and not play. And This year, in our basketball team, we've been pretty successful over the last few years, often making the grand final, which is on a Monday, and sort of everyone's watching. It's a big deal, and I love playing in that game. But this year, we had a bit of a heartbreaking extra time loss in the semi-final. And so on the Monday, you know, I was sitting there with the guys, and we were sort of having to watch these other two teams go about this final. And didn't like it one bit. You know, I was like, next year we just got to play harder, we've got to get back in that grand final. I hate watching. You know, it reminds me of the last few years as well, where I've had some injuries, and you know, playing a few different sports, you know, often with warming up, cooling down rapidly, it's really bad for the old body, and getting injured and having to watch just sucks. I can't stand it. And it really highlights for me the massive difference between being a spectator and watching the game versus being a player and actually being in the game. And you might not have played much sport yourself, that might not mean too much to you, but you might be a big fan of watching sport. You might love the AFL, you might be a Dockers fan or an Eagles fan. You're probably not travelling too well at the moment if you are an Eagles fan. You might love basketball, cricket. You know, there's all different sports that our country, our society loves to watch. And you know, the same thing watching professional sport, like, you just can't do anything about the result. You know, they really want to make you feel like your cheering makes much of a difference, but you just can't do anything really about the result. You're sort of watching on in hope that the people that you go for are going to somehow put it together and get the win so that you can be happy. But if they don't do that, it's completely out of your control. You know, it can be really frustrating and certainly disappointing. So hopefully there's something in that sort of illustration that you understand and that you can think about as being true for yourself. The reality is that illustration, as I've been reflecting on the last couple of weeks in preparing this message today, is that it has it is a great illustration for us to learn from as Christians, as followers of Jesus. And you know, the game we're in isn't a game of sport. Obviously, it's a lot more than that. Our game as Christians, for all of us that are in Christ, we know it's to actually share the message of Jesus with the world. Our mission is to help people find and follow Jesus. You hear people up the front of this church always saying that line, because that's what we're all about, helping people find and follow Jesus. That is our game that we're in. And, you know, the reality is that Jesus wants all of us, his disciples, every single one, to be players in that game. He doesn't want any spectators. He doesn't want anyone just sitting by and watching. And, you know, this, he calls us to be a part of his team. And the team that we're in, you know, it's so close-knit. It's so tight. You know, some of the great teams in sport throughout the ages have always been really close with each other. They know each other really well. And the team that Jesus calls us to be a part of is exactly the same. In fact, he actually calls us into his family, which we can know and understand so much more. In John 1, it says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." You know, so we're welcomed into this team, this family, and it's not sort of a something that we can go in and out of whenever we choose. You know, we're in the family for good. We're welcomed in to play an important part, an important role in that family. There's no one that's called a part of the family just to sit by and watch everything. You know, it's like having a big family dinner. You know, everyone has their roles. You know, not everyone's cooking, not everyone's cleaning, but everyone's doing something. Everyone's having that relationship, if that's all. But, you know, sometimes we do get caught spectating in life. And I know for myself, you know, as I was thinking about this, gee, it happens a lot. You know, I might go, whether it's a day or a few days or a week or a few weeks even, you know, you can get caught sort of just going through the motions, doing the things that you've got to do in your life. Sometimes, you know, I get pretty self-absorbed in all the things that are happening and that I'm doing. And I actually forget that there's something greater that I'm actually a part of. And I can be caught being a spectator. I get distracted and I sometimes wonder, oh, what are the opportunities that I've sort of maybe missed the last few days or the few weeks? You know, I haven't been switched on. I haven't been thinking. I haven't been in the game. You know, God doesn't call us to be spectators. He doesn't call us his disciples to be spectators. He wants to be us to be involved, to have an active faith, not a passive faith that sits on the sidelines, an active faith that gets in the game. You know, it's not for someone else to be involved. It's not for every other disciple to be involved, but not me. It's for all of us. And I really think that the truth is when we get caught spectating, and I know this for myself, we really do miss out. You know, we really do miss out on actually experiencing the transforming power of the gospel in our lives and in the lives of others. We're watching it happen, but we're not experiencing it for ourselves. And perhaps that's a byproduct of the culture that we're in. You know, the consumerist culture, the entertainment-focused culture that we are so a part of. It's all about watching, you know, watching on a screen or watching live someone else be a part of the action. But that's not what God's about. Jesus calls us into the game every day. He calls us to be players on his team every day. And the question's got to be asked, why does he do it? Why does he call us to be players? Why doesn't he call us to just spectate and to watch him do everything? Well, I think that if he wanted us to be spectators, then there's no way he would have left earth in the first place and sent his spirit back for us to live in us and work in us. He would have just stayed and continued to do everything himself, you know, to travel the world doing everything by himself without his disciples being empowered. But we read in Luke 9 and 10 when he sends his disciples out, you know, even in early days as they were following him. He sends them out, he gives them authority, he empowers them, he equips them, he speaks encouragement into their life to go out and do the things that they had seen Jesus do. Because he said that they were good enough to do that, that he gave them that mission. You know, many, many parts of the body can reach much further than just one part. So Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to work in us, to live in us, to use us to accomplish much in this world, to be a part in the game for all of time. And you know what happened to the disciples as they were sent out, as they got involved? They were changed, they were transformed as they saw God work through them. You know, they couldn't believe that they were seeing miracles and they were seeing you know, devils and demons being driven out in the name of Jesus. They were amazed at what was happening, and it totally changed their life forever. the same thing happens to us. As we get out and we get in the game, as we give it a go, I think God changes us. He doesn't just, you know, change us on the inside, but he changes all of the people around us as well. We really do experience the transformation of the Holy Spirit's power in our lives as we live it out. You know, it's not just the knowledge of the gospel that changes us, but it's the outworking of it in our lives, in our actions. It reminds me of a verse from Philemon where the followers of Christ are encouraged to be active in sharing their faith so that they'll understand every good thing they have in Jesus. They'll have a greater understanding. And as we're active and we're in the game, we do have a greater understanding of everything we have in Jesus. What an exciting opportunity that we all have. And you know, this is all summed up, I think, sort of the knowledge versus action in James, a verse that probably a lot of you are familiar with. Faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. We don't want a dead faith. We want an active faith, a faith that's going to bring life to us and others around us. And you know, you might be sitting there thinking, wow, I've never been good at sport. And I just, even in this Christian thing, I don't think I've got what it takes to be a player. You know, I just don't have the skills. I don't have the talent. I don't have much to offer. And you know what? In sport, good coaches are the ones that inspire their players. They lift them up. They speak encouraging words into their players that gives them a belief that they can achieve the goal of the team. And you know, God is our incredible coach who sees all of us individually. He sees us and he sees us as good enough to be a part of what he's doing. He doesn't see what we can't offer. He sees what we can offer. You know, he believes in us because he thought of and created each one of us uniquely. He designed us to be of use to him, to bring him glory in lots of different ways. All he really wants is for us to step onto the court and just to give it a go, to trust him, to believe that he is God and he is good enough to use us for whatever we're going to do. So that's my challenge for me this morning. My challenge for me is to continue to think every day, how can I be in the game? How can I be involved in what God's doing in me and in this world? And that's my challenge to you as well, that you would join me in trying to rise to the challenge, because God sees us as good enough. We just have to be available and we just have to be willing.
Oh, I love it. We have such talent in our youth and young adults, don't we? Good job. All right, second half, stick with me. It is windy up here. I'm sorry, I'm going to back up. Try to get out of the air. Okay. Great job, dance team. The halftime show is always my favorite. We had to put that in there. They did such a good job. Now, you guys are sitting here. I know Brett talked about getting into the game. You guys are sitting here most likely because you've already decided to get in the game, just like Pavel did there. So, what now? What happens? Do you know, I actually think when we're in the game that we have the same fears as Ben did when we're trying to decide if we want to get in the game. So we still ask the questions, am I good enough? Am I going to make a difference? What if I get hurt? Is there something better to do? Maybe better than Candy Crush, but is there something better to do? I think we still sometimes ask those questions, so I don't think that's irrelevant to us when we're in the game. But I do think that there is the temptation, and all of us, I actually think all 100% of us are tempted. Jesus was tempted. We have one hand where Satan is trying to plant little seeds in our head, telling us we're no good. And then we have the other hand, we are just humans, and we have fleshly desires that we might give into, we might not. But I do think 100% of us are tempted. I think that we could easily get distracted if we end up focusing on this earth, if we end up focusing on the earthly things. So in Colossians 3:2, we're actually told to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So we need to focus on God. When we focus on ourselves is when we get wrapped up in the insecurities that come with just being a human and having all those questions, right? I want to tell you a story about a man named Peter who found out how easy it is to get caught up in his insecurities. Peter was actually a disciple of Jesus. He too was worried that he might look stupid. He too was worried that he might get hurt. And during the time when Jesus was arrested and about to be crucified, Peter actually denied Jesus three times. Peter stepped out of the game. And just because I like to laugh, and I do like to show you funny pictures, I'm going to show you a picture of Jesus being denied by Peter three times. And it's appropriate because it's basketball, right? Okay, but back to the story. If one of Jesus' disciples who walked with Jesus in the flesh can get caught up and take his eyes off of the big picture, how much easier is it going to be for us to step out of that game, to get distracted? If we don't focus on God, that is possibly going to happen. The good news is that when Peter could have said, "It's too late, I stepped out of the game, I failed, too bad, I'm going to quit," he didn't. He got back in the game, and God then went ahead to use him to build his church. So all of us at some point possibly could give in to stepping out of the game and becoming a spectator. We all, Brett had mentioned, we all have those days where we just think, "Oh my goodness, I'm tired today," or maybe I just zoned out and I forgot that I was in the game. But the good news for you is that God actually has our back. We aren't alone. God does not call us into the game and then leave us. In Matthew 28, it actually tells us, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." God sends us, but he is with us. God doesn't drop us at the door and then leave the stadium and say, "Have a great game." Praise the Lord, he doesn't do that. He often stays with us and carries us through our mistakes, our bad choices, our errors, our fouls, whatever you want to call them. But even when we do make those mistakes, because we all will, I know it's hard to believe, I've made a mistake once, but we all will, he's got us, and it's not the end of the world, because the pressure to win the game is actually not on us, because the game has already been won. Jesus has won the victory. Isn't that a great picture? Don't you just want to like celebrate with those guys? He has won the victory, but we still have to be on the team. He doesn't need me to play to win. He could bypass me and go to somebody else, but he wants me to enjoy the experience. He wants to transform me, as Brett has already said. He wants us, through playing the game, to learn more about him. And even in playing the game, we learn more about ourselves. Look at the disciples. They didn't have it all together when they got called by Jesus. He didn't pick the 12 most perfect people, did he? Even serving anywhere, but I'm going to give you the example of youth ministry. We get in there on a Friday night and we pray that God is using us to transform lives. But I can tell you that just from my personal experience, and I know from other youth leaders, that in the midst of playing the game or being in there, getting in that game in youth ministry, we are transformed as leaders. It isn't just one way. When you're in it, you also start to be transformed by living out that gospel. The game has been won, but it's not over yet. In the game of footy, even if we end up being completely smashing them, we still don't quit. Now, I wish that Hawthorne would have quit yesterday. That would have been handy. But we don't give up if we're ahead, do we? We know that the opposition is still going to try to hinder us. They're still going to try to win. They're still not going to just lie down and let us just win by 300 points, are they? They're going to keep fighting. So the game, We don't just finish. We don't just stop because it's won. We keep playing. And Satan doesn't give up, and so neither can we. So God calls you. He wants you to stay in the game. He wants you on his team. And he has a purpose for you on his team. We are called, as we've already said, to make disciples. God will use us to build his church. We are to be the hands and feet of Christ. We're to love people, to feed the hungry, to give hope to the hopeless. We are to bring God's kingdom to earth. God gives us gifts. How awesome is it that he even equips us? He gives us gifts so that we can do all of these things. Now, each of us is equipped differently, but it's so that we can all play our part. But in order to play our part, we have to stay in the game. I'm going to leave you with this quote. It's by Helen Keller. I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I can't do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do. You got that? It's a little bit confusing. So we're all gifted differently. The moment we start comparing ourselves and the moment we start saying, I'm not good enough because they can do that, is the time that we start refusing to do anything. So we can't get bogged down in what other people are doing. We've got to stay focused on God. We've got to stay focused on the purpose that he gives us. And we've got to stay in the game, whatever that looks like. It's not always glorious. It is sometimes sweaty. It is sometimes not fun. We do possibly get injured. But I totally recommend the transformational power that comes through living out the gospel, that we stay in the game. And if you today are not in that game yet, if you're sitting on the sidelines and you're spectating and you're thinking, I have more questions, maybe I don't quite understand what staying in the game is, that's fine. We want to talk to you about that. If you're in the game but you might be struggling, we want to stand with you in that. So our prayer partners are going to be up the front after the service. We want you to be able to come forward and to pray with them. If you feel uncomfortable coming forward, and some of you might, and that's fine, we have care cards that are in your community life. You can write in those and drop those in the box, and somebody can contact you during the week. We also want to invite you, if you're new today, thank you for sticking around. We want to invite you to come to the new friends table in the back corner of the cafe. There is free coffee and free food, and we want to get to know you and try to plug you in wherever we can here. The other thing is tonight we have prayer at 5:30. It's for youth and young adults. It's at 5:30. It's in the cafe. If you'd like to come, that would be fantastic to stand with our youth and young adults in praying for them. Guys, I know this morning has been full on for some of you possibly. Don't fret. Next week we'll be back to normal. But we really appreciate the way that you support the youth and young adults ministry in this church. I am the senior youth minister here, and I feel very supported by you guys, and I thank you so much for all that you do. I want to thank our youth leaders who give up so much of what they do to encourage our young people. So, guys, we're all in this together. We're all in this game together, and we just pray that you would continue to stay in this game. All right. Maybe I'll pray. All right. Lord, we just thank you so much for loving us. Lord, I thank you for the way that you equip us. Lord, I thank you for the way that you put us in a team with other people so that we're not alone. Lord, that you stand with us all. Lord, that you love us so much. Lord, that you forgive us when we do step out of that game, that you understand when we're having troubles and we just don't have the energy. But Lord, we pray that today that we would make a choice to whatever it looks like, to stay in the game. So, Father, we love you so much, and it's through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.